Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, I've just heard so much over the last couple weeks about the possibility, or at least the setup for the U.S. markets to go through a bit of a bear market rally or a more dead cat bounce within this larger bear market because of the pressure that stocks, markets broadly have been under and really every sector, even going back last week when we started to see some of the commodities break some pretty key support. A lot of people are saying, okay, now that we have that most recent Fed meeting, we have about 6 weeks from that last Fed for another rate hike, and maybe that gives a little bit of clearance for these markets to go through a bit of a bounce, but really is the sentiment and the outlook that I'm hearing from a lot of people that continues to be so bearish, so different than what we've seen over the last over a decade now. Ed, what's your thought on the possibility or at least potential here of U.S. markets being able to rally in the face of what probably will be a bit of a slow period? Thanks to summer and thanks to the slow trickle in of economic data, not a whole lot of key stuff coming in the near term.
Well, right now, I think you're saying Wall Street, there's a big debate as far as, how much more Fed tightening will we see? And I think the range is pretty significant from 100 more basis points in increases to over 200. You know, there's no strong consensus on how much more tightening we're going to see. And a lot of that depends on what happens with inflation. You know, did we see the peak? Is the peak kind of in place? And then ultimately, how quickly is this economy weakening? And will that, lead the Fed to having a little bit of a shift in this aggressive 75 basis point per meeting rate hike stance that, it seems that the Fed is in? So you're probably going to see markets should remain choppy. But I think there is overall this belief that you're selling into these rallies just because there's still too many inflationary pressures that we're not going to see immediate relief with. And I think that whether you're focused on the energy front, you're focused on food prices, supply chain issues, it doesn't seem like we're going to be getting a headline in the next couple of weeks that will give good reason to be optimistic that there is a major turning point here for inflation. So you have traders mostly, still kind of fixated with the risk that the Fed will be potentially more aggressive. And overall, I think there's belief that you're starting to see a much weaker U.S. consumer, and that's going to complicate how the Fed operates. And I think the big wild card though is that market functioning. That is the one thing that can really force the Fed to change their tune. And you are seeing some pockets abroad where that could become an issue. And market contagion is a big risk that you would see the Fed tweak their policy. So I think there's so many variables right now in place, and there is no belief that we're going to get that green light to buy equities confidently. And I think you're seeing some people start to form some constructive, entry points where they might scale into a long-term position for equities. But right now, it just seems that, we're in this wait and see period. And right now, I think a lot of traders, some are kind of on the sidelines just waiting to see if we do have one more surge here in treasury yields. And then seeing if we have one more last kind of sell-off here for stocks before piling back in.
Yeah, we definitely are in a wait-and-see mode, and there is that tug-of-war between inflation expectations, what the Fed will do, and then you brought in the strength of consumer. We saw how that has affected retail sales lately, and just consumer confidence has been on a downward trajectory. But from maybe more of a technical or just from a market momentum standpoint, it just seems like there are so many sectors very oversold. I know you follow the tech sector very closely, and we've seen those speculative growth tech stocks really get hammered over the last, let's say, 6 to 8 months. Do those look like a compelling entry point for you here, the growth techs? Do you think there's any potential there that some people may start scaling in and playing it for a bounce?
I think tech especially when you take a look at some of those mega cap tech stocks, the Microsofts, the Apples, the Alphabets, they're looking pretty attractive right now. I think that you're going to see eventually when, you know, the economy does have a major downturn and you're going to see, you know, I think investors gravitate towards these companies that will benefit from the massive investments going into cloud. And, you know, those are commitments that aren't going to go away, even when we have, you know, a recession imminent for this country. So I think there's a lot of opportunities here. These companies are, you know, heavily discounted, and you're probably going to see that, you know, for instance, like the go-to trade, you know, for the last year or so has been energy. And I think you're going to probably start to see a lot of investors that went in heavily in that. They're probably going to reduce their exposure there, and they'll look for better opportunities. And right now, you know, beating up tech stocks are pretty attractive. I mean, just for comparison purposes, you know, the Nasdaq's down almost 26% year to date, whereas, you know, the Dow Industrial is only down 13%. So, you know, you have twice the losses with the Nasdaq compared to the Dow. And I think, you know, there are a lot of those tech companies that are not profitable that still rely on borrowing costs. They're going to struggle. The multiples are looking even uglier there. But I think, you know, for the proven winners, people with companies with proven growth revenue streams, they should start to outperform. And I think, you know, given even when things are looking pretty bad for the economy, those stocks should probably see some decent flows.
So Ed, even though certain sectors like tech have underperformed some of the staples and all that, fact of the matter is we're still in a bear market and there's still a lot of selling pressure. So yeah, you could play a little bit of that discrepancy bounce, but if investors are selling or still have the mentality to sell, tough to take any sort of longer term positions here. What's it going to take to change this investor sentiment or mentality of this bear market? Is it simply going to be some of the economic data like inflation coming down, moderating so that the Fed switches course? Or is it going to be, quite frankly, a washout here? The recession hitting, the markets falling drastically, and that being a stronger bottom?
I think the more likely scenario is that you'll see the inflation data improve. I think we've seen already some commodity prices significantly weakening in the past couple of weeks. But I think overall, what you need to see is some inflation relief and also a little bit more softness with some of this U.S. consumer spending. I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, these inflationary pressures have been elevated for quite some time. And, you know, the wages have not been keeping up with that. Yes, a lot of these households have had significant savings built up throughout the pandemic. But I think there is some noticeable weakness and changes in spending habits already and more reliance on credit cards that you're going to have probably more weaker data. You're already seeing some companies announce layoffs. So I think there's going to come a moment where, you know, jobless claims will be trending higher. The personal income and spending data will really kind of, you know, show you, you know, that the consumer is in a worse off position. And you know, weaker economic activity is really what's going to bring the true doves, you know, back in force for the Fed. So I think, you know, the risks of, you know, still a couple more aggressive rate hikes just slightly beyond the summer are there. But then, you know, I think should not be surprised when the Fed downshifts that pace. And that's probably what this market needs to really see is, you know, have a belief that, you know, Fed tightening is fully priced in, and until we have that, you're in for a tough market environment. But we're getting closer to that, though. So I think that's one of the reasons why some people are being optimistic in some of these longer-term bets that they're putting in.
Ed, do you give any credence to the idea that most of the market has already priced in a Fed rate hike in July and even in September, but there's a lot of pundits saying that because of the midterm elections coming up in November, that might be where they pause or start the process of reversing course? But that's also counterbalanced against these continuously high inflation readings where the Fed's saying, hey, we've got to stay the course and do whatever it takes to bring these down. Do you think that the midterm November elections are going to play into this at all for the Fed, or are they just going to ignore that and keep their eye on the ball and just keep hiking if inflation stays persistently high?
I think the Fed is pretty much locked in right now. I think if inflation remains relentless, they're going to have to power through these rate hikes through the midterms. You know, overall, I think expectation is that they won't, and there is, I think, growing momentum to believe that inflation will be easing once we get into September. But you know, overall, you know, this market, it can't fully rule out the risk that the Fed is going to have to be even more aggressive. I think there is one thing with inflation, it is difficult to have a handle on it, but there's too many factors that are going to be determined by reasons abroad, whether it's, you know, China's supply chain situation. And you have to remember too, geopolitics are going to play a big part of this. You know, the movement against China is growing, and I think, you know, the world is dependent on Chinese goods, and also, you know, also demand for from their growing economy. And I think you're probably going to see this is a very difficult environment to gauge. But right now, I think there's no strong consensus right now on how to play it, and that's something that you know, we're not used to seeing, especially you know, during this pandemic.
Ed, let's talk about some of the commodities too, because as I said, we didn't speak last week, and last week I talked a lot about copper falling below $4 and what that could mean for economic data, or even if that translated into inflation data. It also tied in with the crude dropping about $10, even more than $10. It has since rebounded from that, I guess, short-term low that it put in. In terms of commodities, what's important to watch in your eyes for the big picture, whether it be economy or upcoming economic data?
Well, I think for a lot of people, the weakening, you know, global economic outlook is very relevant and being reflected across a lot of commodity prices. I think there's these slowdown fears, you know, are happening a lot sooner than a lot of people were anticipating, and that's being complicated by a steady increase in borrowing costs. So I think, you know, coming into this week, there's I think a big focal point on exactly how fast is this economy falling apart. And you know, I think one of the biggest readings that I have highlighted on my calendar is, you know, a lot of people will pay close attention to the third and final readings for GDP and, you know, the core PCE readings. But for me, ISM manufacturing, we're still in expansion territory, but it's been dropping pretty quickly. You know, and I think that a surprise contraction, not this for this reading, but, you know, I think there could be a case that could happen by the end of the summer, is a risk that, you know, we have to be mindful of. I think you're seeing, you know, prices paid on for businesses. It's still stubbornly high. It's there is some expected softness there for the June report, but you're still seeing a lot of companies are struggling with these pricing increases, and I think what we're going to get a good look at this week is there's going to be quite a few key updates from major retailers. So we'll get a sense of, you know, how bad is inflation hurting them, and what's the strength of the consumer. So I think you'll have updates from Nike, H&M, and I think you're going to see there's going to be a lot of emphasis put on, okay, is the consumer, you know, falling apart a lot faster than people were anticipating? And, you know, I think all the personal income and spending data is really showing incomes are not keeping up with all these inflation price increases we're seeing that are widespread, and spending is definitely softening. So that's going to complicate, I think people's outlooks for the economy. And that's why I think, you know, you probably every time you read the news or hear the news, you're hearing recession being tossed around. And the slower economic activity is happening, but right now I think the economy is still on, you know, decent footing here, and so I think there's still good reason to be somewhat constructive for risk appetite.
Well, Ed, How would you balance out the inflationary pressures, which usually underpin a solid commodities market, with the fact that we've got a really strong dollar while we have really strong inflation? And then there's that recession worry you just mentioned. Will recession be the bigger driver that would drive demand down and therefore hurt commodities, or will inflation continue to be the bigger driver?
Right now, it's still all about inflation. I think, you know, for commodities, you're probably going to see that there should be some growing support, I think, in the very near term. You know, the dollar is possibly near a peak here. I think you're going to start to see the major trading partners for the U.S. They're playing catch up with their tightening, and you're probably going to see that at one point a lot of these rate hikes from the Fed are priced in, and unless inflation heats up and surprises, there's a good chance that we've seen the peak in yields. So I think the dollar risk is one that is fading for commodities. The demand is, it's a wild card, but you are seeing the PBOC. China is going to become more supportive for their economy. And, a negative growth reading for the U.S., I think, second quarter is supposed to show an improvement. And there's still a lot of, I think, support that is going to filter its way through the U.S. economy. And some of that is from some of the more aggressive fiscal actions taken during the pandemic. So there's a massive investment into the economy that will be happening. You know, the G7 is also trying to signal that as well. So I think you're going to probably see that commodities should still be a favorable opportunity long term. But this is a messy period. I mean, you can't be overly bullish commodities when everyone's talking global recession. But I think there is still good reason to be optimistic that we won't see a collapse of those industries just yet.
So, Ed, when it comes to just even the time of the year that we're in summer here, summer does slow down typically. However, the last few summers were busier. People were more stuck at home. Now, that simply is not the case. Do you think this is also just going to be a summer problem where not much is going to happen? It's going to be relatively choppy through the next, let's say, 3 months?
It'll probably be choppy heading into Jackson Hole. I think that, so we'll probably see, everyone is going to stay on inflation watch. And, the Fed is not going to change their tune. If they're going to be in a position where they think they need to focus on that soft landing and have a pivot at Jackson Hole, that could be very positive for risky assets and commodities. But I think right now, we're in a period of chop. And if we do have any rallies, still the mantra for many traders is, fade it. There's no reason to be optimistic just yet. Right now the money on the sidelines is still unconvinced that we can't push much lower at least one more time before feeling more confident to buying this at current levels. So it should be a choppy period, at least for the most of August. July should be choppy, but we have been surprised before.
We have been, but you're right. It seems like a lot of that money on the sidelines. Very happy to stay on the sidelines. And the strategy that investors seem to take is selling any sort of bouncer. Sell the rip, as it's called. Ed, thank you as always for your time, man. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week. I hope you have a great July 4th long weekend. Thank you for taking some time today.
Thank you.